Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Samech Vav. We are on the very top of Samech Vav Amid Aleph. We made our way top couple of lines. I'm just going to quickly recap as Baruch Hashem as we always do, just to get us back into the Gemara's train of thought. We had a steer between Rabbi Yehuda. We learned a brisa yesterday of Rabbi Yehuda and Shkalim. Really, the truth of the matter is it's a Mishnah, but Rabbi Yehuda comes as an addendum at the end of the brisa. But regardless, the point of the basic Mishnah and Shkalim is that let's say you gave your machzis a shekel two times this year. Okay, there's a backstory. You gave it to the shliach. It was stolen. It was lost. He's putter. They didn't take off the Chumas Alishka yet. So you're on the hook. You're liable. So you gave a second time. Then you recover the lost one. Okay, anyway, with the backstory behind us. So you gave twice. So now can I take? In other words, it's a simple question. So okay, right. So can I take my second shmachzis shekel that I gave this year, which is one more than I need to do, and can I just simply forward it to the upcoming year? So it's a reasonable request. And so it's machlokus amongst the Tanaim whether you can or cannot do that. And Rav Yehuda says you can. You certainly can do that. And you'll just simply take your machatzis a shekel, your extra one, and you'll forward it to next year. Okay, good. Meanwhile, the Gemara is bothered. Why? Because we know that according to Rav Yehuda, let's say you have an extra par, an extra seer on Yom Kippur. Unlikely scenario. You lost your par, you lost your seer on Yom Kippur, and you replaced it, and then you found the lost one. Okay, same backstory. Anyway, so you have an extra par, an extra seer. So now the question on the table is, can I now bring it next year? Can I forward it to next year, my additional one? And Rav Yehuda said, no, of course not. Rav Yehuda says you have to dispose of it, right? Then you go through the general process of disposing an animal. Okay, good. So that's called the stira, right? Rav Yehuda allows you to forward your additional machzis or shekel, and Rav Yehuda will not allow you to be able to forward your additional par, your surplus par, or your surplus seer for next year. So that the Gemara started that question yesterday, Zaf Samech Hamad Aleph. The entirety of Samech Hamad Beis, the Gemara really struggled to give an answer. The Gemara tried, the Gemara was unsuccessful in doing so. And so now as we are on Samech Vav Hamad Aleph, so we're just wrapping up the Gemara's answer to this question of what's the difference between the Machatzis HaShekel and the case of the par and the seer. Good. And the Gemara is going to come to a single answer. But it just took the Gemara a good amount of time, almost over an Amud, to arrive at that answer. So with all that stated, so Samech Vav Amud Aleph, even before we begin, just one other point of review. One of the suggestions of the Gemara is, and it's a really simple one, is that you know why you can't use the seer from one year to the next? Because next year it's going to be too old, right? A chatas by a goat can only be up to a year old. After that point in time, it's just simply too old to be brought as a carbon to chatas. So if it was eligible for one Yom Kippur, that obviously means it's not eligible for the following Yom Kippur. Sounds like a really reasonable suggestion. The Gemara suggested it yesterday. The Gemara said, no, it's possible. Unlikely, but it's possible. And you also have to subscribe to the Shita of Rebbe. Rebbe says that when counting a year, so you count the solar year, 365 days. Three, a solar year is in excess of a lunar year by 11 days. 11 days, 354 days. So you could have an animal that's eligible on one Yom Kippur and for the second Yom Kippur as well. It is an incredibly unlikely scenario because remember, your window of opportunity is really small, meaning 11 days excess, but also keep in mind that your goat is not eligible until it's 8 days old. So you're talking about a really small window of opportunity where for the first Yom Kippur, your goat is anywhere between 8 to 11 days old. And then the following Yom Kippur, it's going to continue to be eligible. Again, going like Rebbe that we're going with a solar year. Okay, fine. But the Gemara says the Gemara did entertain that discussion. Good. With that stated, El Amareva, so now we're going to pick it up where we left off from yesterday. We're on Samech Vav Amud Aleph. We are 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud. Last word in the line, El Amareva, Gzera Mishim Tekala. So the Gemara's answer now is a really simple answer, and it sounds familiar because we've heard this before. You can see on the side of the Gemara the number of times the Gemara goes over this idea. Gemara Bechoros, Gemara Avodah Zarah, Gemara Shkalim. This is a common idea, and that is, you know what's going to happen if you let a carbon just linger around? Right, nothing good's going to happen, right? The old expression, nothing good happens after midnight. Good, so nothing good happens with a carbon just lingering around. So someone's going to forget, and someone's going to be mol behekdesh, And it's just, it's simply not a good idea. And the Gemara says, and I'll prove this to you. It says that none, but it should be edited to Detanya. Right? Don't make hektish nowadays, and don't be ma'arich. Another form of a Beis HaMikdash donation. Entire Masechta dedicated to that topic. Ein machrimim, right? Stam charamim is lebedek habayis. Rashi points that out over here. Anyway, these are all different types of donations to the Beis HaMikdash. Don't do it nowadays. Don't make something hektish. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays. So what are you going to do? So you'll make something hektish, and then you put it in your safety deposit box, and you just let it sit there, and it's not good. Nothing good's going to come from it. In fact, if you do so, destroy it. Meaning, don't let it linger around, because again, the chances are is that you're gonna forget, right? It's just sitting there, right? It's up in the attic, wherever you're storing it. And you're gonna be mal behektesh. So if it is an animal, so what's it called? I'm just trying to think of a literal translation for it. What's it called? Basically, the Gemara is going to give a non-literal translation. So let's wait for that. And if it's fruit or clothing or utensils, so let it rot. Money kli matchos. So we're thrown to the Amamelach. The Ezu Ikor. Now, when you say with an animal, you're a Makdish an animal nowadays, which you shouldn't have done. So you should be Ma'akarit. So what does that mean? No, Dalas Lefanevi, Himesame Allah. So, basically, let it starve to death. In other words, don't kill it, but at the same time, don't sustain it. Right? It does sound, it sounds cruel. But the basic idea is that, don't let it hang around. And, and dispose of it. So, okay, fine. So the Gemara says, now, let me ask the question. What does that mean that there's going to be a takala? So something bad's going to happen. So takala d'mai, takala d'akrav, afil kol rayos nami. So the Gemara says, well, are you worried about maybe a person's going to be makrivit, right? And in other words, by the par and the seer, which we are just going to be holding it for another year. So you're worried that someone's going to offer it prematurely sometime during the year? So the Gemara says, okay, do you know how many times we've gone over in the Gemara, right? Let it graze, let it go to pasture, and let it develop a blemish? Like, why are we not worried in any of these other circumstances? And now all of a sudden, by Parn Seir of Yom Kippur, oh, no, don't wait till next year, because someone may offer it early. The Gemara says, we never worried about that when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, "Ita kala degizav avodah filo karayis nami." And what are you worried about? You're going to shear it. In other words, you'll be mol behektesh. You're going to shear it. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but again, I'm going to ask the same question. Do you know how many times we said that if you have an animal that's no longer eligible for whatever reason, so let it graze, develop a blemish, and redeem it? And we're not worried about somebody coming over and doing gizav avodah." So lo olam tekalo da krava v'hanach tla bnei akrava ninu lo tarid behu hach de basa krava he tarid ba. But the Gemara points out, yeah, but there is a fundamental difference, because by all the other karbanos that became disqualified, and the Gemara's ruling is that holech l'raya, let it go graze. So over there, you know what's going to happen. You're going to wait till it develops a blemish, and then you're going to redeem it, and then you're going to make personal usage of it. So you know that as a karban, it's expired. You're just waiting for the technical point of it developing a blemish, so now you can redeem it. However, when it comes to the carbon of the parn this year of Yom Kippur, that this year we're not using it, it's surplus, and now we're waiting for next year. So now in our mind, we haven't basically ended the story, meaning we know it's going to be brought as a carbon again. So now we're worried, because now that we know that we're going to be bringing it as a carbon again, so maybe somebody's going to come along and forget that this is supposed to be not just any carbon, but specifically the carbon for Yom Kippur for the coming year. And that's why in such a scenario, we are in fact concerned. Okay, so the Gemara says that the reason why Rav Yehuda will not allow for the excess par and the excess seir to be used for the following Yom Kippur is based on Tekala. And then the Gemara, just to wrap up the entire discussion, the Gemara says, you know what? I really do think this is a fundamental debate, whether this is a concern or whether this isn't a concern. V'tekala atzma tanai, the Gemara points out, it's machlokas tanaim, detanya chad pesach shelo krav berishon yikrav b'sheni, b'sheni yikrav l'shana ba. So one brisa says that if I have a carbon pesach where I didn't offer for whatever reason, you were tame, whatever the reason is, you didn't offer it this year on pesach rishon, okay, so you're now postponed for another month, meaning your next opportunity to bring the carbon pesach is going to be pesach sheni, and I'll tell you what, just bring this animal as your Pesach Sheni. It's fine. And the and if you can't bring it for Pesach Sheni for whatever reason, so then bring it next year. Now, over here, by the way, we can now ask the exact same question that we just asked at the beginning of today's daf. Bring it next year? In other words, Karban Pesach also has to be within a year. How are you going to bring the Karban Pesach next year? Hold that thought, as I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. V'tan Yidach, and another Raisa says, Lo Yakriv. No, don't bring it next year. You know what? You didn't bring it this year for whatever reason, so don't bring it next year, which seemingly means, and dispose of it. And my law, b'takala pligi. So over here, what is the difference between these two brises, where one brise is advocating, oh, just let it sit around for a year, and the other brise is saying, no, don't do that. So presumably what they're arguing about is this issue of takala. Sounds like a super reasonable suggestion. So the Gemara says, lo, d'kulam alo chayshin la takala. The Gemara says, no. It could very well be that nobody's concerned with takala. Now, that's a funny way that the Gemara is setting it up. Nobody's concerned with the takala. After having an entire daf, not full daf, but almost a full daf of discussion in terms of why we're not allowing the par in this year to be used for the upcoming year. So the Gemara says the reason why is because of takala, and now the Gemara is saying, no, nobody holds of takala. It seems like a strange suggestion of the Gemara. But that's the way the Gemara is saying it. Nobody subscribes to takala. So the Gemara says, well, I'll give you a different way to explain the machlokas. Meaning, one brisa says, we'll just recycle it for next year. And another brisa says, no, we're not. Maybe it has nothing to do with takala. Maybe what it has to do with is, can I in fact recycle it for next year? Well, let's consider. And again, this just goes back to what we said at the beginning of Shir today, at the end of yesterday's Shir. And that is, can I use the Karban Pesach this year for whatever reason we weren't able to use it? Can I now just simply let it linger for another year and use it next Pesach? Well, it depends. If I subscribe to Rebbe that the way that we're the way we're measuring a year of the Karban Pesach is 365 days, so there is a possibility. Again, like I described, a really small window of opportunity, but there is a possibility that I'm not going to use the Karban Pesach this year, but I could use the next Karban Pesach. Right, next Pesach is going to be 354 days later. The animal is not going to be a year old until 365 days later. So then, the brisa that allows you to use it next year is subscribing to Rebbe. The other brisa that says don't do it, because the other brisa is holding like the Chachamim, that the way that you measure the year of the animal is not based on the solar calendar, but rather on the lunar calendar. So that means that in its lifetime, it's going to only have one Pesach, and that's it. Okay, that could be the machlokas. The Gemara says, okay, look, that was a nice suggestion, v'hatanya. But we did learn in a brisa, v'chein hamaos. Not only is this true when you actually have the actual Karban Pesach, but let's say you set aside money for the Karban Pesach. Now, money for the Karban Pesach, there's no statute of limitation for money of the Karban Pesach. So now, we have the same exact debate regarding the money. For whatever reason, I set aside money for the Karban Pesach. I didn't use it this year. Can I let it linger for next year? So we have brises at odds with one another. So alalah shmamina, b'takala pligi shmamina. So there's only one way to explain it now. And that is that they're arguing about takala. Should I leave the money, let linger for a year? One brisa says yes, the other brisa says no. The brisa that says yes is not concerned with takala. The brisa that says no is concerned with takala. So this issue of whether or not leaving around kachim or even demei hektesh, leaving it around, letting it linger, and whether or not problems will ensue, is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? So the Gemara concludes, it happens to be a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Which, by the way, if we could just wrap up now the whole discussion as we're about to start the new Mishnah, so then it is a little bit strange because after discussing why can't I recycle the parn this year, not recycle it, but a surplus parn, the surplus year of one Yom Kippur, use it for the next Yom Kippur. And the Gemara gave suggestion after suggestion in terms of why that would be a problem, whether or not it's viable, is it not viable. And the Gemara ended up with a whole discussion. Rava's answer was Gzera Mishum Takala. And then the Gemara concludes after that whole discussion of, you know, it's really a machlokas tanaim, whether we do or we don't subscribe to Takala. So it's a little bit strange. Meaning Rava's answer is not reflect everyone's opinion. It's only just some tanaim's opinion. It's not the end of the world. If we could just wrap up the discussion. Because, remember, the whole purpose of yesterday's daf and where we ended today was only to explain the steer within Rav Yehuda. So we're really only just addressing one Tana's viewpoint. Meaning we're looking only to make shalom in within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Okay, so within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, so we have at least we have an explanation. But not all Tanaim agree to this idea of Takala. Okay. Let's continue. We're on the Mishnah on Samech Vav Amid Aleph, and as Rashi points out over here, the very first Rashi in the Mishnah, back to narration. Okay, so we took a little bit of a break in the beginning of our sixth perek, talking a little bit about the background of the two goats, the Seir Lazazel and the Seir LaHashem and the lottery and the animals have to be identical. And okay, good. So we got a little bit of background, but now we're back to narration, right? All the Mishnayos, not all of them, but a good number of the Mishnayos in our Masechta went through the actual step-by-step process of how the Avodah is done in Yom Kippur. We've gone now through all the Hazos that are done with the Dam of the Par and the Seir, the three sets and the Shirayim poured on the base of the Mizbeach. And now we're up to the sending out of the Seir HaMishtaleach. So what happens over here is we're about to send out the Seir HaMishtaleach. So first and foremost, Vidui. It says the Mishnah. Balo Eitzel Seir HaMishtaleach, the Kohen Gadol now is approaching the Seir HaMishtaleach. Remember, the Kohen Gadol is not leaving the Azara the entirety of the day. So he's still in the Azara. The Seir HaMishtaleach is there. Remember, the Seir HaMishtaleach was positioned to the door in which it's going to depart from the Azara, but it's still now stationed in the Azara, and the Kohen Gadol goes to the Seir HaMishtaleach. V'samech she'yadav alav, he puts his two hands on the head of the goat, mitzvadeh, and he makes vidu of v'kacha yomer, and this is what he says, Ana Hashem. Okay, the girsa over here in terms of what the proper sequence should be. Chatu avu pasha, remember, earlier in the Masechta, we had a discussion of which should be the proper sequencing. Machlokas Tanayim. Remember that Baal Tefillah who davened and he opted with one nusach and Rava corrected him and said no, go with a different nusach. Anyway, so lefanecha amcha beis Yisrael ana Hashem kaperna lachatim laavonos lepeshim shechatu v'shaavu ushe pashu lefanecha amcha beis Yisrael kakasuf besoros Moshe avdecha leimor kiviyamazei chaper lechem l'tereschem mikol chatosechem lefnei Hashem titaru. Okay, I know I went through that all quickly, but the vidui. Now, obviously we could be sitting on every word over here, but for the daf yomi, I'm obviously just going to go a little bit quicker. And the basic point is, this is vidui for Yisrael. The Kohanim, where do they receive their kapara from? Well, hopefully you remember, we discussed this in the sixth parak. So the Kohanim receive their kapara from the par. For all the averos, hold that thought. But for Klal Yisrael, they're receiving their kapar from the Seir HaMishtaleach. So lifnei Hashem titar v'kohanim v'amomdim b'azor k'shayushom Hashem ha'mefarash. Now, obviously, as the Kohen is now quoting the pasuk from the beginning of Achremos, so he says Shem Hashem, and we all know that if you're in the Azar and you're here and you hear Shem Hashem, so we all know. So what do they do? Shu yosem ipi kohen gadol ayukar m'shach vim. So they would bow, v'nofim al panim, fully horizontal with the ground. V'omrim baruch shem kavod machzol le'olam v'ed. Okay, so that's your response when you hear shem hamafarish in the Azara. Masul l'mishayu molicho. Now they hand it to the man who's going to be walking it out. So hakol kshirim l'olicho. Now who can take him out? So strict letter of the law, anybody can take out the goat. This job of sending out the Seir HaMishtaleach could be done by anybody. However, Elisha asu a kohanim, take out the word gedolim. Elisha asu a kohanim keva v'lo yuminichem es Yisrael. But the kohanim basically they took the job for themselves. Okay, they could be done by Yisrael. La'olicho amar Rabbi Yosi ma'isav la'olicho arsala v'Yisrael haya. Rabbi Yossi tells a story where this Arsala took out the Seir HaMishtaleach at one point in time. Arsala is his name, says Rashi. And he happens not to be a Kohen. Okay, so, they're having a machlokas about what happened, what didn't happen. It could very well be that the Mishnah is just describing that, generally speaking, the Kohanim usurped this job, even though it could be done by Yisrael. And Rabbi Yossi could be also describing that on one occasion, it would happen to have been a Yisrael. Now, there was a platform. Okay, if you have, right, there are some great depictions of this, of the scene where basically it was a long platform, almost like a bridge, that basically from the area of the Beis HaMikdash to where it's going to be sent off the cliff, and basically it was there, that bridge was to provide not just a clear guide and pathway in terms of where this guy was going with the goat, but also to protect him. Why? Why does he need protection? So he needs it from the Bavliim. Now, in a moment, we're gonna learn. Not in a moment. At the end of today's daf, we're gonna learn. Babylonians just an expression. It doesn't mean Babylonians. So Shayu Metalshim Besaaro. So they would do is they would pull on his hair. I'll give you a great machlokus. Pull on whose hair? Okay, so it's a pronoun. So with all pronouns, so it becomes ambiguous. Could be that they're pulling on the goat's hair. Could be they're pulling on the hair of the person sending the goat. From Rashi, I got a little bit of a better picture of but not really. Rashi says, Yochla bavlim lega bimisholech lefisha yivrigilim letalsha b'sa'aro. From Rashi, it sounds like the pulling of his hair modifies the person. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. But again, open-ended over here in terms of whose hair they're pulling. But the point is that someone's hair is getting pulled right now, and that's not good. And v'omrim lo, tovetse v'tovetse. And basically encouraging to go, let's go, let's go. In other words, get the goat out of here. Okay, I've been waiting entire Masechta now to say this, right, over 2 months. But here it is, the scapegoat. Meaning that this is now, as far as the view of this goat in the eyes of the Jewish people, is that this is it. The goat is carrying all of our sins. And so the quicker you take it out to the cliff and the quicker you throw it off, the quicker our sins are going to go away. Okay. So the original scapegoat. I have an extraordinarily good feeling that the expression scapegoat comes from the Seir Lazazel. Right? I could be. Okay, so it could very well be, I saw a little bit about this. It could very well be that as much as we're looking to protect the goat or the person, whoever's hair is being pulled out, we're also protecting the people from violating malachas. I did see that. Okay. V'ilu b'nei Aaron am kedoshecha lo kamar. The first comment of the Gemara is that we're focusing on the vidui that's said by the Kohen Gadol on the Seir HaMishaleach, where he says that this should be a kapara for who? For Klal Yisrael. Right? Look back at the Mishnah, and it says, Chatu avu parshu lefanecha amcha beis Yisrael. So it's providing a kapara for b'nei Yisrael. Now, go back a week in the daf. Go back to Samach Aleph. And if you don't have to, but if you go back to Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, it's the previous parak, it's the fifth parak. So if you remember about Chokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, here's what we know for sure: the dam of the par is providing a kapara for the kohanim. In terms of which averos, so for sure the averos of Tumas Mikdash VeKadasha, and the. Dam of the Seir LaHashem is providing a kapar for Yisrael for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. And it's, that part's clear, meaning just think about it. In other words, the blood's collected in a bowl and sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadashim, in the Heichal, opposite the Mizbeach. So clearly, the kapara is there, is that if in the event somebody walks in to any of these errors while being Tamei, so kapara is being provided for those of errors. Okay. We also know for sure that for the Shire Averas, for every other Avera, and I made this comment on Samach Aleph. It's really funny how basically there are two categories of Averas for Yom Kippur and Kapara. One is for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, and then another category for every other Avera. Like, it's a funny scale, but okay, that's how it works in Yom Kippur. And so for all the other Averas, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, so they're receiving Kapara from Seir HaMishaleach. That part's also clear. Here's the part that's not clear. And that is the Kohanim for Shara Averos. Where are they receiving their kapara? And you have two options. Either they're getting it from the par of the Kohen Gadol, or they're getting it from the Seir HaMishaleach. And it was a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, so for all other Averos, for Shara Averos of the Kohanim, it's the Seir HaMishaleach. For Rabbi Shimon, it's coming from the par. Our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, taking a stand on that issue, so the Gemara thinks, yeah, I think I'm just taking a stand on the issue. V'ilu b'nei Aaron, now I go back to our Gemara. V'ilu b'nei Aaron, am kedoshech lo kamar, doesn't mention anything about b'nei Aaron. So, Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah? So, I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, the local Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't say it is Rabbi Shimon. We know Rabbi Shimon's argues with Rabbi Yehuda, but anyway, it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Deika Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yeshlem Kapar B'Seir HaMishaleach, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on the Seir HaMishaleach should not just be limited to Yisrael; should also include the Kohanim as well. So our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the first approach. Now you can argue, and the Gemara is going to point out Abai Amar Afilo Tem Rabbi Yehuda. Nah. Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yehuda. And when the Kohen Gadol makes his vidui for Klal Yisrael, You know, Klal Yisrael is a very broad term. It could easily include the Kohanim as well. So when our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol is doing Vidu on the Sira Meshlech and he has Yisrael in mind, so you know who's including Yisrael? It could be Kohanim. So our Mishnah could in fact be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Amoraim debate whether or not our Mishnah is taking a stand on the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, that takes us all the way back to Samech Aleph. Masu Lamisho Malichu Tener Rabban. The Gemara here quotes the Braisa as we're on the very bottom of Samech Vav and Aleph, getting ready to turn the page. So, Ish Lahachshir Es Hazar. So the Torah says that you're going to be handing over the Seir Meshalech to an Ish E.T. So the word Ish, we're darshaning, means a non-Kohen. And E.T., so Shuhu Mizuman. So E.T. means what? Now the word itself, really hard to translate, right? It's one of those words that does not come up in the Torah very often. So the Gemara over here is going to give multiple explanations to what it means, E.T. Having something to do with time. Right, right. You're going to be sending it out. If I were to translate the words literally, with ish et timely man, it doesn't. It's hard to read in the psukim. But the Gemara over here darshins. Number one, shum ishei mizuman. So number one, he had to have been already prepped. Rashi says he had to have been notified yesterday that he was going to be the man. Meaning that you can't spontaneously on Yom Kippur say, you know what, let's send it out with. And then you point to somebody. It's got to be somebody who was designated. Okay. So if I had to guess, I didn't do this, but if I had to guess, probably Art School translates the Ishiti as a designated man. That's my guess. Okay. Verifiable, but okay. So the Afilu B'Shabbos now. The Gemara is not done yet. The Gemara is going to darsh to make a couple of other drushes as well. And that means what if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide with one another? Ah. So you're gonna go out on Shabbos as well. Meaning. So it would have been a violation of Shabbos, but Ishiti tells me that we violate Shabbos. Now, hopefully you're thinking right now, the wheels are turning, you're thinking, you know, it's also Yom Kippur. It's not just, meaning Yom Kippur and Shabbos may in fact coincide, which sometimes it does. Do you know that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur every year? So as much as we have an allowance now to override the Shabbos, isn't Shabbos and Yom Kippur basically synonymous? Hold that thought. So et v'afilu b'Shabbos, et v'afilu b'tumah, and let's say the designated man is in a state of tumah, you'll send out with him anyway, regardless. Okay, so we have a number of drushas that come out from the word et. He has to be mizuman, afilu b'Shabbos, afilu b'tumah. So the Gemara now is going to break down every one of these drushas. Number one, ish l'achshir es hazar pshita. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'ud detema kapara ksiva be, but it is associated with kapara. Kapara is generally done by the Kohanim. Easily, I could have thought that this job should be relegated, not relegated, but designated to the Kohanim. And not to a non-Kohen. So kamash malan. So, okay, fine. So the chiddush is that that it could be a non-Kohen. So it's a chiddush. So etiv afilu b'Shabbos l'may hilchasa. So we say et that even on Shabbos. So what does that mean, even on Shabbos? Meaning, what violation are we talking about that it's able to override the Shabbos? I'm Rav Sheshes, Lamar Shim Hayachol, Amar Kiva Ketefom. So Rav Sheshes says as follows. Let's say the Seir Meshaleach, it's dragging. In other words, it's sick. It's right now, whatever. You thought it was going to be able to make the walk, it can't make the walk. Okay, so it's a goat. It's a small animal. So what can you do? What should you do? Pick it up. Carry it. Carrying is a violation of Shabbos. Okay, carrying is a violation of Shabbos. This is considered Navoda, and it's going to override the Shabbos. So, Kamandalo Karebi Nasan, Dikarebi Nasan, Amr Chayno says Atzmo. So the Gemara says, wait a second, this is a living entity. Carrying a living entity, according to Rebbe Nasan, does not violate the Torah. This is what's called Chayno says Atzmo. Right? The simplest way to say it, although it's not a complete way to say it, is that, well, when you're picking up something which is live, it helps you carry its weight. It distributes its weight. It helps you carry the weight. You're not doing it by yourself. It's like Shtaim Sha'asu. Okay. However you want to explain it, Rabbi Nassim's of the opinion that one does not violate the Shabbos for carrying a living entity. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so then this explanation that you're able to violate Shabbos by carrying it, Rabbi Nassim says you're not violating Shabbos. Now it's true that according to Rabbi Nassim, it's still rabbinic isser. But it's not violating Shabbos. We don't need a drasha. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Nasan chalashani. No, it could be going like Rabbi Nasan. If the animal is immobile, meaning even if it's alive, But if it can't walk, Rabbi Nelson's of the position that that is a violation of Shabbos. Chai Noseis Atzmo is only a Petur Min HaTorah, only when it could have walked on its own, but if it's in the situation where it can't walk, right? The Tosos in the beginning of the 19th Perek spent a lot of time talking about an infant, a newborn, right? Obviously, it can't walk. What would Rabbi Nelson say under those circumstances? Is that a violation of the Torah if you carry the newborn, if you carry the infant? Okay, good. That was a discussion that we had briefly back in the beginning of the 19th Perek of Shabbos. Anyway, so it could be even going like the Shita of Rabbi Nelson. Amar Rav Ram. So the Gemara over here makes a statement which is, in a moment we're going to learn, is a controversial statement. Zosameris Erevo Tzal HaShabbos Vein Erevo Tzal Yom HaKippurim. Okay, this idea that we are given now a special allowance of the Torah that you can override Shabbos. Now, as I quipped just moments earlier, you know, okay, you can override Shabbos. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do Malach on Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is not like a Yontif. On a Yontif, you're allowed to carry. But on Shabbos, on Shabbos, obviously, you're not allowed to carry. So when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide, so now you're given a special heter. Well, what if Shabbos and Yom Kippur don't coincide? Don't you still need that very same special heter? Meaning on Yom Kippur, aren't you not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur? So Rafram says, okay, so here I'll make the following observation, that the malacha of Hotza'ah is not apply on Yom Kippur. Now, he does say, by the way, if you want to read the words carefully, he says, Erev v'hotza'ah, ein Erev v'hotza'ah li Yom Kippur. Now, Erev is a rabbinic institution. It's not a din d'oraisa. Rashi notes that over here. Rashi says Erev is just, it's coming along for the ride. But really, the word to focus on right now is the word Hotza'ah. There is no Hotza'ah in Yom Kippur. Now, it's hard to explain why that should be. Meaning that vis-a-vis all the malachas of the Torah that apply to Shabbos, they apply to Yom Kippur as well, with exception to Hotza'ah. Okay, why that should be, I don't have a wonderful explanation right now. But what Rafram's noting is that it's pretty clear based on the drasha that we just learned together. If it's Yom Kippur by itself, I don't need a drasha, meaning you'll carry the animal out to the edge of the cliff. Ah, but if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide, now I need a special heter. I need a drasha to teach me that it's okay. Okay, that's clearly what we just learned together. So Rafram's observation is, oh, so what do you see over here? That Yom Kippur by itself, no malacha votzah. Yom Kippur and then Shabbos, and now we've introduced the malacha votzah. Okay. I mentioned it's a really controversial statement. Tosfos points this out in the very top of the Amud. Take a look at the Gemara in Krisos. On Daf Yudal, it says Tosos. And you'll see that the Gemara over here really pushes back on this observation of Rafram. In fact, rejects it. All right. And the halacha, by the way, is it's a rejected statement, meaning all the malachas applying Yom Kippur, even the malach of Hotza'ah. And so you're not allowed to carry Yom Kippur. Obviously, if you're living within an era, which we all do, so fine. But the Isra of Hotza'ah applies in Yom Kippur as it does on Shabbos as well. Okay. And finally, last halacha the Gemara goes over in the Braisa Iti, the Afil Betuma, Lamai Hilchisa. So we say that Ish Iti tells me that even if you're in a state of Tuma, what do you mean even if you're in a state of Tuma? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lamar Shim, Nitma, Mishalcho, Nichnas, Tame, Lazar, Mishalcho. So let's say the person who was designated, remember, a day earlier he has to be assigned. The person who was designated to take out the goat, so he happens to be that it was Tame. Under normal circumstances, he cannot step foot in the Azara. So now a special dispensation is given to him, where now he can go into the Azara in order to take out the goat. Okay, fine. Adkan, that takes us now not to the end of the daf, but the end of that discussion. Okay, and now enjoy. The Gemara from here until the Mishnah, which we're going to be doing within the next couple of minutes, is going to be a series of questions that were posed to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, I think there are 8 in total. I mean, I did count. So the questions that were all posed to Rabbi Eliezer is going to be a little bit difficult in answering these questions. Now, he doesn't mean to be difficult. Okay, it just happens to be, as the Gemara itself will acknowledge, if he didn't hear something from his Rebbeim, he wouldn't say it over. So in other words, he was extraordinarily conservative in any opinion that he would present. He would not present an opinion. If he had a Masorah, he would give an answer. If he didn't have a Masorah, he simply wouldn't give an answer. Now, in order to avoid giving an answer, so he he said something, but everything that he said is really just there to evade and deflect and basically like, I don't know. Okay? Why couldn't he just simply communicate and say so simply, I don't know? Okay, so I imagine there's a little bit more behind the story. Anyway, so let's go. So a series of questions that were posed to Rabbi Eliezer. Sha'alu es Rabbi Eliezer. So chola ma'ushia kaveh k'tefo. So let's say the goat is sick and now you have to carry the goat to the edge of the cliff. So can you do that? So amar lahem yachlohu la'arkiv ani v'atem. Rabbi Eliezer's answer is the goat's really healthy. In fact, we could ride the goat. You and I could ride the goat. Now, right, I've seen goats, by the way. You and I cannot ride the goat. But his answer was, again, an evasive answer. All these answers are evasive. The answer was an evasive answer. He just basically said, don't worry, the goat's healthy. We'll be fine. Nothing to worry about over here. Okay, number two. Let's say the person who was designated to send off the to send the goat out of the Azara to the edge of the cliff, let's say he gets sick. Okay, so he calls in sick that day. It's Yom Kippur, he's not calling in. So he calls in sick that day. So can I send it with somebody else? Not really sure what the alternative would be. Meaning, and if I don't send it with somebody else, like what's plan B? Not really sure. So Amar Lahem, but I understand what's behind the question. Meaning we just learned on the top of our Amud that the person has to be designated from yesterday. So if he's not available, now I don't have a designee. If I don't have a designee, so I don't know what the plan's going to be, but I understand that the questioner is asking, well, doesn't he have to be a designee? So Amar Lahem, Ehebe Shalom Ani V'Atem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, we're good. Don't worry. They're not calling on you to send away the goat. They're not calling on me to send away the goat. So in other words, that's not a practical question for you and me. Let's move on. Again, an evasive answer. All the answers are evasive. Number three. Dachva V'Lameis Ma'ushi Yeredach Ravi Yemisenu. You push a goat off the cliff, this is going to be one of the healthiest goats, the strongest goats we've ever seen. As the goat now is falling to his death, he didn't die. Now in the bottom of the cliff and the goat is still alive. So what should we do? Should we go down to the bottom of the cliff now and should we kill it? So Amar Lahem, so once again, Rabbi Lazar's response is, Ken Yom D'Kol Ayvecha Hashem. Quoting a pasuk from Shiras Devara, he says, this should happen to our enemies. Okay, good. And again, did he give an answer? You already know. He didn't give an answer. Again, he evaded. Fine. Now, Rabbi Lezer was not ready to give an answer to any one of these questions. The Chachamim were prepared to give an answer. So, Chalam Rakiva Ktev, for question number one. If the goat is sick, should he carry it in the shoulders? Yes. Number two. Chalam Ashachli Shechen Biad Acher. If the person who was designated to send the goat got sick, so should you send it with somebody else? The Chachamim said yes. And finally, number three. Dachva Velomes Yerach Rav Yimisenu. Goat now is at the bottom of the cliff, still alive. Go down there and kill the goat. Okay, so the Chachamim rat-tat-tat, three answers to the questions. Again, Rabbi Lezer, it just did not have a Masorah in these questions. We're not done yet. Shalom is Rabbi Eliezer. Next question that was posed to Rabbi Eliezer, Ploni Ma'u La'olam Haba. Now, over here, the Girsa in our Gemara is a little bit corrupted, and the Bach spends a lot of time. You can see on the side of the Gemara over here. I went through the Bach. So the Bach spends a lot of time over here working on the Girsa of our Gemara. Okay, but the Gemara, even with the corrected girsa, it's still cryptic. Question goes like this. Ploni ma'u la'olam haba, so-and-so, meaning he named somebody, but the Gemara over here was discreet in terms of who he was talking about. So is he going to be going to olam haba? So amar lei lo she'altinu ela ploni. So the follow of Rabbi Lezer's answer is, instead of asking about so-and-so, why don't you ask me about the other one? You know, that person. And the Bach's girsa over here, so there's more. There's more to the dialogue. And so the questioner said, okay, so what about so-and-so? And then Rabbi Lezer's response is, you could probably guess already. So Rabbi Lezer's response is, oh, why don't you ask me about the first guy? Okay, and again, just evasive. Okay, so he's asking about two mystery people in terms of whether or not they get Olam Haba or they did not get Olam Haba. Obviously, we're all curious. Who is he asking about? Okay, so Tosos over here points out. Right, the Gemara was discreet. Tosos is, you know, But totally understandably, meaning if it's in the Gemara, obviously it's there to teach us a lesson. And if all we get is just, is Ploni going to Olam Haba, yes or no? So we would like to know a little bit more. Who was he describing? Who was he discussing? So there were two people, actually, that were basically on the bubble of whether or not they're going to be or not going to be in Olam Haba. And who were these two people under discussion? So Tosu says, he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, So he was asking about Avshalom. All right, one person he was asking was about Avshalom. Now Avshalom, son of David, so he slept with the Pelegshim of his father. Now the Pelegish, is that your wife or is that, Pelegish is a concubine. So does that have the full status of your wife? If it does, so that's what's called adultery. If, right, for anyone else who is with that woman. If she's not fully married, so then it's not adultery. It's still highly inappropriate, but it's not adultery. So when Avshalom now is sleeping with the Pelegshim, is he in violation of adultery? Well, it depends on the status of the concubine. So that was the question that was asked to Rabbi Eliezer, which again, he evaded, but now we understand what the question was. The follow-up about the other person, so again, if you go on in Tosfos, it's asking about Shlomo HaMelech, whether or not he is going to be a Ben Olam Haba. Now that's breathtaking, meaning Shlomo HaMelech, builder of the first base of Mikdash, author of at least three of the Sifrei Tanakh. So, and whether or not he's a Ben Olam Haba. So, and Tosfos points out, yeah. So, the Pasuk says, V'lo haya levavo shalem. So the Navi gives a really caustic description, of Shlomo HaMelech at the end of his life. So, and how to understand that. And whether the pasuk meant it as a full criticism of Shlomo or just a partial criticism, that was on the table of discussion. Okay. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin spent a lot of time with this discussion. Over here, we're just getting a short, cryptic. Correct. All we're getting over here, again, we're just getting a snippet. We're just getting a Q&A with this one student and Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer took a pass on answering the question. Okay. Next, back to the Gemara. Again, the Girsa over here, it needs a lot of work. Again, the Bach spent a lot of time with it. I'll read in the Gemara, but I'll just basically say over the way the Bach says it over. So, Ma'ala Atzil Roa Kivsa Minari Amar Lam Lo Shaltino Ela Al HaKivsa Ma'ala Atzil HaRoa Minari Armalam lo shaltino el ala roa. Okay, so we have over here in the Q&A, we have a lion, we have a shepherd, and we have a kivsa, right? A ewe, I think, is the proper term. I hope I'm right. Female sheep. Okay. So now, should I save the shepherd, or why don't you ask me about the ewe? Should I save the ewe, or why don't you ask me about the shepherd? Again, and the Gemara doesn't read super clear like the way I just presented it, but that's the Bach's reading. Okay, obviously all this is metaphor, right? There, who's the lion? Who's the shepherd? And who's the ewe? So, right, probably you can guess, right? It's David, Uriah, and Bathsheba. David being the lion, Uriah being the shepherd, and Bathsheba being the kivsa. And if you go through the Navi itself, you write the parable that was given to David HaMelech, right by Nasan, in terms of, you know, there was this wealthy person, and then there was this poor person, and this poor person only had one sheep. So if you just rudimentary knowledge of the Navi, and you could see it, you could actually see this, and Tosa spends a lot of time, not a lot, Tosa spends a little bit of time over here going through. What are the salient points over here? Whether or not when David is going to be having relations with Bathsheba. So, do you have a right to kill David? Now, what's that predicated on? So, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ein Gimel. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if a man is about to violate an Eish HaSish or any of the rites for that matter, and you can stop him from doing so, even if it means you have to kill him. So, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says you can kill him. You can write even though the Avera hasn't been done yet, so you have a right to kill him. So what is on the table for discussion over here is, does anyone have the right to kill David HaMelech before he has relations with Bathsheba? And that's going to be predicated on whether or not Bathsheba and Uriah are married or not married. And that's going to be predicated on whether or not the get that he gave her was working lamafreya, working retroactively. There's a lot at play over here. And again, we know Rabbi Eliezer's response, and that is, I'm not answering. Okay. Next. Mamzer Mar Leiresh. So, is a mamzer going to be able to inherit the estate of his father? That was the question. Answer Mali Abim. Well, can he do Yibum? Okay. Again, he's avoiding every one of these questions. So, Ma'u Lasud es Beso. Well, by the way, we did Yivamos. Right? The Mishnah happened to have just addressed that question very clearly, whether or not Mamzer could do Yibum, cannot do Yibum. Right? It is an Avera, but at the same time, it's a mitzvah. Okay. If you remember the Gemara in Yivamos. Ma'u Lasud es Beso. So, question. Can we plaster our homes after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? To plaster the home makes the home really nice, but we have to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So are we allowed to plaster our homes in total? His answer, Ma'ol Asud es Kivro. Well, can you plaster the graves? Again, he's avoiding the question. He's not giving answers to the question. Lo Mimneshi Yifligim Advarim. Now, the Gemara finally points out, right, if at this point in time we didn't get the message that he was avoiding all these questions. So, if he didn't hear from his Rebbe, he would not say over an answer. Shala Isha Chachma es Rebbe Eliezer. Wise woman asked Rebbe Eliezer. You know the Maisa Egel. So, it's the same Cheta Egel. And meanwhile, Jews died different ways after the Chet Egel. So, Amar Lahem Ein Chachma Leisha Ela Befalach. Now, we know he's going to avoid the question. In other words, because that's the theme of the end of today's daf. Rabbi Eliezer avoiding questions. Now, he does say something which could be understood as a little bit insulting. He says, you know, women are good at knitting. So, could it be that this is a general position that he takes regarding women learning? The Gemara Sota spends a lot of time, Chaf Aleph, spends a lot of time debating and deliberating this issue about women learning and the value of women learning. And obviously, I'm not even getting to the more modern discussion that's had regarding the issue, but amongst the Tanayim, so this was a debated issue, and it could be that Rabbi Eliezer had a very clear position on this matter, which is great, by the way. In him not answering the question, he's also answering another question. Okay. But anyway, so v'cheinu omer v'chol isha chachma slave biyadeh tavu. Okay, and he quotes the pasuk describing how the women would stitch and weave and so good. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm not ready to answer your question. Itmar Rav Levi Chanamar. Now the question was brought to the table, so the Gemara now is going to answer. Rabbi Eliezer didn't, but the Gemara is going to answer. Why did Jews die differently after Cheta Egel? So the Gemara gives a couple of positions. Chanamar Zivech V'kita B'sayev. Well, if you actually offered a carbon to the Egel HaZahav, so that is liable to the death penalty, specifically Sayef. However, Gifa V'nishek B'misa. However, if all you did was just hug and kiss the Egel HaZahav, but you didn't formally worship it with a carbon, so then fine, so that's Misa B'dei Shemayim, but it's not a corporal punishment. Samech b'vavo behidarkon. Now, if you just happen to have been happy, meaning you didn't do anything, but in your heart you were happy, so hidarkon, so you suffered a death through illness, a specific illness. Chanamar idim v'asra b'sayef. Another explanation is that if there were witnesses, and there was a warning, so then again you're subject to the corporal punishment. And idim b'lo asra b'misa. And if there were witnesses, but there was no warning, so then misa b'dei shemayim. And v'lo idim v'lo asra behidroken. So once again, you're going to be dying through this illness. Amar Rav Yehuda Shifto Shalevi Lo Avod Avodas Kochavim. Sheva Levi were not Ovid Avodah Zarah. Now, we all know that, right? It takes a Gemara to teach us that, right? It's pretty much clear in the Pesukim. The Gemara is really setting us up for a question. Shenemar V'yamo Moshe B'shar Machaneh. In other words, the Gemara notes. It's a Pesuk. Right? Just go through the story of Maisa Egel, Cheta Egel, and Parshas Kisisa, and you'll see that Levi, the entire Sheva Levi, did not participate. So the Gemara says, Yasef Ravina v'kamer l'ashmaita. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eisvei b'nei rapapa bar abba l'rav yanai. Ha'omer l'aviv l'imo l'risiv, aviv imo, I'm sorry, l'risiv. And meanwhile, when you get to the end of the Torah, and you get to the bracha that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Sheva Levi, so one of the praises that Sheva Levi is that, you know, you didn't show any favoritism. In other words, whoever deserved to die by Chet Egel, he killed. Even your brother, even your, even the son of your father, the son of your mother. And now, the obvious question, what do you mean? If it's the son of your father, he's a Levi. How did you kill? In other words, none of the Levim were Ovid of Avodah Zarah by the Chet Egel. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, but right, I'll give you an answer. Rashi and Chumash says this. Aviv Avimo. So it could be that when we're talking about father over here, we're talking about grandfather, and your maternal grandfather could be from a different Shevet, Israel. Achiv Me'imo Israel. When we're saying sibling over here, we could be talking about a half sibling. You're sharing a mother, you're not sharing a father. So he's from a different Shevet. And but not B'nei Bito Israel. And when it says your children, it really means your grandchildren. And through your daughter who married somebody from another Shevet. Okay, so Pasuk can easily explain that we're just simply talking about somebody from another Shevet. Kavesh Asu, now we're talking about the ramp. Amar Rabba Barchana, Lo Bavlim Hayu Alexandrium Hayu. So they were now we're not Babylonians, they were Alexandrium. Now, not clear to me in terms of whether or not we mean that they are Jewish Babylonians, Jewish Alexandrium, right? That seems to be the simple pshat of the Gemara over here. That doesn't mean the actual people from that nation. Anyway, when we talk Shusonim is the Bavlim, however, they had a general disdain for Bavlim. So he called Nosam Ashmam. So anyone they didn't like, they called Bavlim. Okay. It's so funny. The name calling topic, which comes up in the Gemara a lot, it's a really difficult topic, meaning you're not allowed to name call, right? It's called Anaz Devarim, right? And meanwhile, nicknames abound throughout the Gemara, and over here, somebody we don't like, we're going to call a Bavli. Okay, so it takes somebody smarter than me to really put together all the Gemaras and try to figure out, like, when name calling is okay, when is it not okay? Okay. So, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo Bavlim hayu alachzandrim hayu. So he says they were not Bavlim, but rather they were alachzandrim. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi tanuch datchashe hinachta dati. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yossi says, okay, good. Made me feel a lot better. So Rashi says that his family was from Bavel, and the whole thing really bothered him. I'm not really sure how this made him feel better. Meaning, anyone we don't like, we'll call Bavliim. Okay. Feel better now? Okay, good. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't fully understand the answer. Okay, Tovet say, Tana, we learned in a Braisa. What would they be saying over here? So they would say, Mashat Sipori. Right, this goat, don't lay it around. This is Aramaic. This is all Aramaic. So, Mashat Sipori, don't let, Mashat Sipori Dain. V'chovi daris again. You know, our generation's got a lot of culpability. The quicker this goat gets out of here, the better. Okay, so they were really encouraging, right? Really pushing along this goat so that the sins would go away. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Just quickly recapping our daf today. The Amud Aleph, we finished off yesterday's discussion regarding why can we not allow an extra steer from one Yom Kippur and push it off to the next Yom Kippur? And the simple answer is takala, meaning at least within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Simple answer is takala. We leave it around for a year. Somebody is going to do something they should not with it, violate the Isra of Me'ila, use it for some other purpose, whatever the case is, takala. Okay, good. That's part one of today's daf. Halfway down the Amud Aleph, we start the next Mishnah, continuing the narration of Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Sira Mishalech Vidui done by the Kohen Gadol. Now it was handed over to an Ishiti. He sends it out and he's ready to throw it off a cliff. In the Gemara's discussions, we went through the following. Number one, this vidui of the Sira Mishalech, does it incorporate Kohanim as well? You could read the Mishnah one of two ways. The Gemara, in fact, reads the Mishnah one of two ways. And then it's going to affect the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that takes us all the way back to Samach Aleph. Ish Iti. Ish means he doesn't have to be. Kohen Iti means that he's designated. That he is, that you could do it even in Shabbos and even in a state of Tumah. What violation of Shabbos would there be? If necessary, you can even carry the goat. Tumah, if you're Tumah, you could still walk into the Azar in order to collect, in order to receive the goat, in order to take it out. Okay, good. And then the remainder of today's daf, the remainder of today's daf, a lot of questions that were posed by various questioners to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer evaded every one of the questions. Because, as the Gemara pointed out, if he did not have a Misorah from his Rebbeim, he would not offer an answer. Adkan.